In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and my co-host, Minister David Clifton, and also my co-host, Minister Ryan Fountain, who also is our historian. It's good for us to be here, and we want to just thank God for being able to be here on today. And what we want to do also is make sure that we give you our guest call-in number on today to begin with. And that is, our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. And also, you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. Okay, for my food for thought today will be found in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And we know the subject is the Word of God, not money. Sometimes people pick this up and say that He gives seed to the sower, but He is literally talking about the Word of God when He's talking to, talking about the water, the rain coming down in the snow, and what it does. Because many times, even in Jesus' parable, the area where they were, and he was talking to farmers, he made it plain of what he was talking about. So we know that even in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he made it plain when they said, declare unto us the parable that he was talking about. And he said, the seed is the word of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Food for thought is going to come from the 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Beginning at the 13th verse, it reads, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye be known these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My food for thought is coming out of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 13th verse starting. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Yes.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Mm-hmm.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There is a rapture, my friends. Don't let anybody deceive you with air. There is a rapture, and it explains it right there in the scriptures. That's plain as day to me.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for his word. That is all of our food for thought. And we're looking at things that are coming on the earth right now, and there's going to be a time you're not going to be able to get a drink of water when God turns the water into blood.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at what's going on now in the Gulf. This is just a prelude for things that are going to happen after the Lord takes his bride, which is the church, out of this earth. We know the mystery of iniquity doth already work in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. But only he who now letteth will let, or hindereth,
uh-huh,
will hinder, until he be taken out of the way, then shall the wicked be revealed.
Amen.
So we know the devil can't work like he want to, because the church is here, because the Holy Ghost is still here, because the prayers of the saints are hindering him from really working. And we know the devil is the devil.
And we are waiting on our hope to be with the Lord in the clouds, to see him as he is.
Yes.
We shall be fashioned like unto him with our glorious body, just as his glorious body.
Yes.
Amen.
And we will be with him.
Amen. Yes. Yes. So we just thank God that we have a hope. Just like the writer said, the hope that is not seen, hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
Yes.
But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we know he's coming. Nevertheless, foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yes.
That everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So folks are doing all kinds of things. They ain't going to go nowhere when the Lord comes. They don't get right. So that's why we got to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So we're going to move on. We finished up in the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles last week. So we're going to move on, and we're going to give you into the hands of our historian, Minister Ryan Fountain. And we're going to step into the 14th chapter, he's going to set the scene and take it.
Amen. We are in the 14th chapter of Acts. This is right in the middle of Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. As we said last week, this missionary journey lasted about 3 years. I believe they traveled about the distance of 1,450 miles overall. So now we are, they are leaving out of Iconium, and they are continuing on with their journey. So I will begin to read, and we can expound from there. First verse, it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." So they're now ministering unto Jews and Gentiles. Gentile ministry is in full effect at this point. And Gentile ministry continued to grow, Jewish ministry continued to diminish. Even as we are in this day, mainly a Gentile church. There are a few Jew believers, but it's mainly a Gentile church at this point in time. Verse number 2, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave them testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." So This is speaking of Paul and Barnabas speaking the word of the Lord. They have opposition here with Jews. They rose up against them, and also they stirred up Gentiles that rose up against them, because Paul and Barnabas are now fighting against both Judaism and the traditions that brought along with it, and paganism and all the traditions that was brought along with that. They're keeping all of that out of the gospel. They spoke the word of the Lord boldly, and he gave them a testimony. He showed witness unto them. Amen?
Amen.
This is how signs and wonders are done. They weren't looking for the signs and wonders. He gave them a witness of signs and wonders. Amen? The signs and wonders followed after them.
Yeah.
I believe it says that in Hebrews, the second chapter, that signs and wonders followed after the apostles.
Yes, and gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
According to his own will.
Yeah,
yes.
And so they weren't looking for those gifts. They weren't looking for the miracles. Just speaking the word boldly gave the miracles were brought along with it.
Yes.
If we continue on, it says in the fourth verse, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So there's two major divisions in this city. And that is how the devil gets in, through division. That's how he makes his way. That's how he gains ground, is by dividing people. And that's why Paul tells the Corinthians, is Christ divided? Because the devil has no place within Christ. So if Christ can't be divided, the devil has no place within his body. Amen?
Right.
So this, once division is created, that gives the devil space to come in and bring in all sorts of wickedness and all sorts of contention. And that is how we are destroyed. Amen?
Amen. Even Jesus said that in his ministry. He said every city, every village, divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah.
And so he proposed a question. So if Satan be divided against himself, he said, how then shall his kingdom stand?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So and Satan is not divided. He doesn't divide himself. He looks to divide us.
Yeah. Right.
And that's how he is looking to steal, kill, and destroy. Moving on. In the fifth verse, it says, and when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and to Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And that's interesting to note, that these men were chased out of that city, and usually when you're chased out of a place, you want to lay low for a while and kind of hide.
Right.
They still continued on what they were doing. They preached the gospel.
Yeah.
They preached boldly. Nothing was going to stop them, because they knew bodily harm wasn't going to stop the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It might have stopped their body, but the ministry was going to carry on.
That's right.
So they continued to do what God commissioned them to do, what they were sent for. Moving on, it says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. There's a miracle right there.
Yeah.
And this is all because he heard what Paul preached unto him. This is the where faith is manifested by the belief of the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just moving on, we go in 11 verse, and it says, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and called Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now, it's interesting that they labeled them gods, Roman gods, Jupiter being the chief god, who made everything. He was the chief god in the Roman system. also in the Greek system, Jupiter is Zeus. And if you are more familiar with Greek mythology, he was the chief god. He made everything happen. He was the god of the sky, god of lightning, and was the ruler of all the gods. And Mercury was Hermes, and he was the chief speaker. He was he was Zeus's messenger, and he went about and was the spokesperson for the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they were labeling Paul and Barnabas, and they did not know what they were doing at first, but when they realized what was going on, they stopped that, because that's pagan worship. That's idols. And there's no place for idols within the Church of God, within God's system, because God is to be worshipped alone. There's no image that we can worship, that we can look to believe on God. God, we don't worship Jesus Christ after the flesh. We don't worship Jesus Christ after an image. We worship Jesus Christ after the Spirit.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in this day that you can show. There's many images that we show that represent the church, the cross, and we there's pictures of Jesus, but none of those images should be worshipped. Only Jesus Christ through the Spirit. That's how you worship Him, in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
So if you worship Him in any other way, that's false doctrine.
Right.
And there's no place for that within the church.
Amen. And it's also, excuse me, good to note that when it spoke of the man that was crippled, it says that he heard Paul speak. And by what Paul was speaking, which he was preaching the gospel, that ignited, if you will, his faith for him to be healed. Now, these people that were going to bring these sacrifices, it doesn't say that they heard what Paul said, but they saw what Paul had done. So it's good to note that these people, really, their heart was not in the right place, because they were following after the signs and not after the word.
Right.
And that's something that we see a lot of today, is people are following after these signs and after these miracles. Now, understand, these people were familiar with these Greek gods. They worshiped them. Understand that the devil does have power to do signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm,
amen.
Right.
So they were not confused in that they had never seen signs and wonders before. They had saw them before. So the signs was not something new to them. It was just, as we go down, as Paul is going to explain to them, the God that had performed this work. But the devil is going to use the same tactic, if you will, when he deceives the world. It's going to be by signs and wonders, and people are going to follow after those. So we have to understand that the devil does have power to do signs, and just because someone is proclaiming to be of God, as last week we talked about Bar-Jesus, he was doing things that would seem spiritual, and he was attaching the name of Christ onto it, but it was the work of the enemy. So the enemy does have power, but what you have to do is not so much follow after signs as these people did, but do as a crippled man did and follow after the word of God. Amen.
Right. And we should follow after the word. We should not follow after images. We should not follow after different signs and wonders, because signs and wonders should follow after you, just as Minister Clifton just said. There are certain churches where images are prevalent,
mm-hmm,
within their boundaries. Amen.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, just thinking of the Catholic Church, there's many, many beautiful buildings and edifices,
mm-hmm,
that have many different beautiful statues and stuff. But those images are not of God. Those images are not godly. They're images, and,
right,
and people bow down and worship before those images and look for the images to bleed, and look for the images,
mm-hmm,
to cry tears,
mm-hmm,
and look for all sorts of weird things to come out of these images. But that's not of God, because that's not God's order. That's not how He wants you to worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not worshipped in things. He's not worshipped,
right,
in creation. You should be worshiping the Creator.
That's right.
And that is where that's what he's talking about in Romans, the first chapter, that they wandered off from God and began to worship
the
creations, the creatures, rather than the Creator.
Right.
And that is exactly what's going on in the Catholic Church in this day. They are worshiping the creatures, and they're worshiping statues, and worshiping images, rather than worshiping the God of glory.
Right, yeah, because this foolishness, people have done all kinds of stuff. They got an image of a hot dog or a hamburger or whatever. I don't care if something do look like Mary. We don't even, none of us is there to know how Mary looked. That's just all foolishness.
Exactly. That's all imaginations of men.
Right,
tears
come out of a statue, like, what good is that doing?
Yeah, that's what they think. That's what their mind saw Jesus to be looking like. And we know that Jesus wasn't blonde hair and blue eyes.
Right.
That's just their imagination.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we know that God is a spirit, and we should be worshiping after the spirit.
That's right.
Right.
And also know that God is a living God.
Yeah.
He's not a dead God. So all these images, they're not alive. The Bible says that they have eyes and see not.
Right.
They have mouths but speak not, have ears but hear not. Those images, they can't do anything for you. And those images were created by the hands of man. Whereas the image Jesus Christ, which is the image of the invisible God, was not created by the hands of man. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. And we never know. I remember one of our late bishops used to say, we're looking to have a glorious time in the Lord. You can't say, there's been false prophets that have come in town, said they're going to break every yoke. You don't know what you're going to do. You're not going to do nothing. God is going to do it, if that's God's will. So that's what's so important. Even this scripture that Minister Fountain had made mention about God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And here's the key, according to his own will.
Yeah.
So we don't know what God might do. Anything is in order. We don't know when God may heal somebody. That's a miracle. Something, just like somebody said, Elder Johnny James said that ain't no miracle about money. He said too many people are walking around with $10,000 in their pocket. He said a miracle is if you throw the ball up and it keeps going.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. That's supernatural.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we can continue on.
Yeah.
Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. So they were actually going to sacrifice animals unto these men,
mm-hmm.
because they saw them as images. They saw them as gods on the earth, which goes right along with Greek mythology and Roman mythology. That they worship images, and the gods would come down in images, and they worship them. So Paul and Barnabas, when they heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made the heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." So these men, like I said, they're keeping paganism out of the gospel.
Right.
Because pagan gods didn't create the earth. They didn't create the heavens. They didn't bring forth grass. They didn't bring forth the seasons. God, the living God, the Yahweh, the El Shaddai, he was the one that brought forth all these things by thought.
Right.
And in creation, he did this within his 7 days of creation, which we are still in this day.
Yeah.
So by his thought, all these things were made, not by the thoughts of many different gods. It was all by one God. And he took up his own counsel and did this by his own will, by his own counsel. Book of Isaiah tells us that. I believe it's about the 43rd chapter. But reading on, look in the 17th or 18th verse, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So now, it wasn't the people that were in the cities that they were in. It wasn't the people of Lystra and Derbe that necessarily brought the uprising. It was others that came. The people that he made mad before that he came into these cities, from Iconium and also from Antioch in Pisidia. Well, those are the two previous cities that he had been to.
Mm-hmm.
These men had been following after him. Evil will follow after you and try to wreck you and try to persecute you and try to bring you down. But even so, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So not only did he get stoned and drug out of the city, he got back up and went back into the city because he wasn't done there. He still had some more work to do, and then he left the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil may try to stop you, but if you keep on going with the work that God commissioned you to do,
mm-hmm.
you can keep on going. Because you have to imagine being stoned was not a pretty sight at all. That these weren't little skipping stones that you throw along the pond to see how many skips they can do. These were big, giant stones that were about the size of your hand, and they were tossed as hard as they could into a man's body. That breaks ribs, that breaks arms, that shatters bones and hits organs. It's a painful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this man not only got up right away, he was able to walk.
Amen. And it's good to note, number one, that in the 15th chapter of St. John, Jesus spoke of this hatred that would be shown towards those that preach the gospel. So, number one, these men knew that this type of persecution would come. But it's also good to note, as Minister Fountain said, that Paul, he was not done with his preaching. And in his second letter that he wrote to Timothy, he told him to make full proof of thy ministry, and
right.
then he went on to say that he had finished his course.
Right, fought a good fight.
He fought a good fight. So that is something that ministers should do. Persecution is going to come. Now we're not being persecuted in this day like the apostles were. It's mainly a spiritual persecution, a persecution from those that are in authority to try to muzzle us. But we have to continue on knowing that God is with us as we continue to preach the word, amen?
Right, yeah, you're going to have opposition. That's a sign of you being in the will of God when you're getting opposed, because you're not going to just go through without being opposed by the devil when you try to preach the truth, because the devil don't want you to preach the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Devil knows that people are going to hear the gospel. They're going to believe the gospel. Ain't no, I can't, they weren't saying say yes and can I get a witness and none of that stuff.
That's right.
They preached the sure enough gospel, and the devil really tried to stop them, but they had a determination down in their heart to do the will of God.
Amen. And if you look in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, we don't have time to read through all the things that happened to Paul, but there's a whole list of things that different cities did to Paul.
Right.
And this man never stopped preaching.
That's right.
Not once. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten. There was all sorts of things that happened to this man, and he never stopped preaching the gospel. He preached it with the same boldness and with the same fervence as from day one,
mm-hmm.
continuing to grow in the Lord. So as we read on in the 21st verse, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch. So all the places where they were persecuted, they went back to.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to go back into the places where you were persecuted, because there is more work to be done in those places.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, they confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key right there, that you have to continue in the faith.
Yeah.
Not only do you have to hear and believe it, in the faith and receive the faith, you have to continue in that faith. The book of Acts shows the history of how the church was born. Now, when you get into the epistles, these are the exhortations unto the churches mm-hmm. in order to keep them saved,
yeah, right.
in order for them to continue on in the faith that was taught unto them at the beginning. So it was a continuance. It's not just a thing to be saved on Sunday, and then a week later you go back into the world and you're still saved. It's a mm-hmm. continuing thing. You have to continue to work at being saved, because we are looking towards the hope. And as I believe Minister Clifton, you were talking about the race that Paul ran the race,
that's right.
and finished his course. That whole course, he had to run that. And if he had stopped at any point, that it would have all been for naught. It would have all been in vain.
That's right.
But you have to continue until the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Until God sees your end, and that is what we're looking for. Is our end, which is to be with Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's good to know that it says that he confirmed the souls, and then he exhorted them to continue in the faith. And one of the problems that we have a lot of times is we want to get people in, we get them filled with the Holy Ghost, we get them baptized in Jesus' name, and then we forget about them. We have to, if we read it, Matthew 28 and 20, it goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. I do believe that's
commanded.
Whatsoever I have commanded. So after we get them saved, we need to continue to encourage them, exhort them, and teach them in the ways of the Lord, so that they can continue to walk with God. It's a sad thing to when you know that the persecution, you know that the tests and trials are going to come, but you don't warn the people.
Right.
A lot of times we tell people about all the good things about God, but we don't tell them about the hardships that'll come with walking with God. So it's good that Paul went back and he checked on these people, and he exhorted them and he encouraged them. And I'm pretty sure he let them know things that will come up against them to warn me. You know, something that our pastor teaches us is if you're driving down the street going into a dead man's curb, that sign is not in the middle or at the end of the curb, because that's not enough warning. But if it's at the beginning, you know it's coming. You can set yourself up to be successful as you go through that curve. The same thing applies to walking with God. When the devil tries to distract you or get you off course, if you warn the people through these things, they will know how to pass those tests when they come up to them. Amen?
Right. And you got to walk with God. That's why Apostle Paul had likened it unto a race in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he was saying that all that running a race, you got to run that you may obtain. And I literally ran in a marathon, which is 26.2 miles. You can't, that's not a sprint, but you got to set your pace.
Mm-hmm, man.
And you train for it. And you can't faint. And you got to, and over here too, you got to drink water. You got to eat the word. You got to drink water. You got to, the Bible says that we, you know, the washing of the water by the word. So we got to do everything that God commands us to do so we don't faint in the way.
And that's a very good point, and I want to add on to that. Just a piece of advice to any saint that's listening out there, come to Bible class.
Yeah.
That is where you get taught. That is where you get fed. And the preaching of the word is to get you saved.
That's right.
The preaching of the gospel is to get you saved. That is the manner. That is very light meat. And that gets you saved. But to continue on, to run a marathon, you can't just eat junk food. You can't just eat any old thing. You have to eat stuff with substance the mm-hmm. night before, and that gives you energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the word of God, that's what teaching does with understanding. That gives you the energy, and that gives you the knowledge and the understanding that anything that may come up against me, I can get through this. And that helps you to set your pace. You need to be taught. You need to have a pastor teaching you the word of God. And that's just a piece of advice to any saint that's listening out there. You need to be in Bible class. The Bible class is so important to a saint in continuing on in the faith.
Yeah, yeah, you got to have it. I got saved in Bible class. There's nothing like the word. That's why I'm still here, matter of fact. It's because of the word. And that's what Jesus said, as he was saying earlier. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.
Yes.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes. Amen. So Moving on, it says, when they had ordained them elders in every church, they had made pastors, they had made an order, they set up a government within each of the churches,
mm-hmm.
and church does need a government, that you need an order of leaders to lead the people,
yeah.
or else there'll be anarchy. If you don't have a government, you have anarchy, and anything goes, and that's where envy and strife are brought about. That's where divisions are brought in, and sects and cliques are arisen if you don't have a good government.
Right.
And a good government can break all that stuff up and keep the order.
Yeah.
So they set elders in every church, and they prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they just pretty much made a circle and came back through everywhere that they had started out in,
mm-hmm.
and came back into Antioch. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples.
Yeah.
So this is the end of the first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas go on. This was the conclusion, and when they had the conclusion, they went in, and again they testified to the church in Antioch all that they have done to prove that God is a good God, and God was with them and showed them many things and opened up the door unto the Gentiles.
Yes, and this proved. And then another thing, nowadays there are too many people that call themselves independent. And you're not independent, because the church is the body of Christ. So the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. We know
Amen.
Solitary is by yourself. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land, and the dry land is the desert. And in the desert there is no water. And where there is no living water, you will die. So God has an order. And that is why, like, the apostles' headquarters was at Jerusalem. So you're not by yourself. No man is an island. You're not by yourself, but you got to be like what Apostle Peter was saying about submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Yea, all of you be clothed with humility.
Yes.
For God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble.
And
so you got to, even though you are a leader, you got to be subject to other leaders.
Amen. And
it's for your own good.
And the apostles were their headquarters in Jerusalem. Now it shows where Paul and Barnabas' headquarters was in Antioch, and
yes.
they had to give account of themselves
yes.
to the people in Antioch and give their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we're actually going to go on to see this, where
yes.
they actually met and had their first council.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So again, we see by the things that they did that, number one, God does have order.
Yes.
These things need to be rehearsed. They need to be figured out, because as we read on, we're going to see a question came up, and the only way for them to solve this was to come together. So that's, I believe, something that we're missing. But I also want to point out, up until this point, and you two, brother, can answer this for me, I don't recall seeing any of these brothers going out and asking people to come back with them to their home church. Have we seen that yet?
No.
They're doing what is called missionary work. Is
right.
that correct?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we have the exact mileage, but these men went out and preached the gospel. They are fulfilling the commission. And I think we kind of have this backwards in our time, where we're going out, we're just asking people, you know, just come to my church, just come to my church, instead of actually going out as ministers and doing footwork and going to see people and preach and teach to them. We're getting lazy, amen.
Yeah.
We have vehicles. We have all this technology. These brothers didn't have that. They
right.
walked, amen.
Right.
And you gotta imagine. And I don't have my numbers with me today, but these cities were 50 to 100 miles apart,
mm-hmm.
Up to 300 miles apart. So it wasn't just one day's journey walking. you can drive 300 miles in one day, but these men had to walk 300 miles.
Right.
And it was not a day's journey, but rather weeks and months at a time. And they were dedicated to the gospel. This took 3 years of their time, just these two chapters.
Yeah.
This was 3 years that they were absolutely dedicated to the gospel, not for their own gain, but to set up churches in each of these cities.
Yes, right.
And that shows the dedication of these brothers, and many times that dedication is not shown in this day.
Right. But my point I was making with people being, you can't be independent, but you need to be with somebody.
Yeah.
That is, like we said, we're apostolic. We have apostolic. We are an apostolic organization, and we have rules and guidelines, and we have. And especially in our particular organization, we have what we call the ministerial a minute book. And we have got, and everything in there is set up from the Word of God.
Yes.
And so it's for our own good.
Yes.
So you get out there by yourself and don't want to be subject to nobody. You, when the Lord makes the shout and take the church out of here, you'll be right here.
And if you in the organization, and not following after the guidelines,
exactly,
and not following after the doctrine,
right,
and not believing you're out of order and you're a rebel,
right.
And when he makes that call,
you go to the news media and tell him you missed the rapture.
You missed the rapture.
Because you can't, ain't no secret closet confession.
Yeah.
Because God said, even the men of God, the leaders are subject one to another, and it's for your own good.
That's right. And there is no private interpretation of the
no.
churches either.
No.
Amen.
No.
We got people coming up with these personal revelations. You know, church has been around for a long time, and all of a sudden you're coming up with this new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have to be very careful, don't we? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And again, as we see, there was a question that came up. It arose, and instead of them just going out and being rebels and teaching it in their churches, they said, well, we need to bring this together to our leaders, and let's talk this thing out and see if it coincides or goes with the teaching of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that way we can see whether we adopt this teaching or not. Amen?
Yeah. Do you want to read on in the 15th chapter?
All right, starting at
the
15th chapter, and it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Then it goes on to say, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small decision and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." So just let me stop here. What's going on is you have some of these men saying, well, okay, you've allowed these Gentiles to come in and to be saved. They need to be circumcised now. See, they're still trying to stay under the law. So when Paul and Barnabas heard this, they said that they should go back to Jerusalem, which we have established was their headquarters, unto the apostles and the elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, by the way of the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And it goes on, verse number 7, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." And it's good to see that they're discussing this matter, but I'm not seeing any exchanging of monies here, and there's these men aren't paying any fees, amen, to preach. And we know that some of these things are needful, But we don't see this. This is the first, if you will, council.
Right.
And they're bringing this question, this issue that has arose up together, and they're all coming together, amen, to talk about this. So let it be known that if someone is independent and a question like this comes up, they don't really have to answer to anyone. They can go ahead on their own and say whether or not they want whatever the question is to be or not to be. So, again, this is order. This is God's order, and these men had order, and this is something that we should be following after. Amen?
Amen.
And it goes on to say, now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So Peter here, he was asking, you know, why are we tempting God to put this yoke or this burden on these men when they have received the same gift that we received? Now, if God didn't want these men to be saved, would he have filled them with the Holy Ghost?
And if he wanted them circumcised, they'd have had to be circumcised before they got the Holy
Amen.
Ghost in order to be saved.
Right.
So they would never have the opportunity because they weren't circumcised when they first heard the word.
Amen.
But we know by the scriptures and by right division that they were actually circumcised within their heart.
Right.
The circumcision of the law was a circumcision of the outward flesh, but our circumcision in this day is of our heart. We're still circumcised
mm-hmm.
by faith, but it's in our heart.
Right.
It's in our inward part.
Right.
And it's prophesied in, I believe, Ezekiel, and also Paul talks about it in Romans.
Yeah, yes. So what I was going to say was when we hear the word of God is the sword of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that when they were pricked in their hearts, the word of God is what circumcised your heart. And we know, we go back, And when we come on, we say that the law was given by Moses,
mm-hmm.
but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And also, Apostle Paul was writing to the Jews. He said, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, is not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So that's what the word of God does. When we hear the gospel, our heart is pricked. Our heart is circumcised. That's what he is talking about.
And
then, yeah, go ahead.
We are not breakers of the law. The
no.
law is fulfilled already
yes.
in us. And
yeah.
and so we are not breaking the law of circumcision. The circumcision is within us. The law is fulfilled within Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ is within us. So we are fulfillers of the law. We have that we are able to follow after the law because we have the Holy Ghost now, and the Holy Ghost can lead us in all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the law is fulfilled already, and we are under grace, we are under truth by Jesus Christ. And it's exactly what is said in our intro, that we are no longer under the bondage of that law, the letter of the law,
mm-hmm.
but we are under grace and we are under truth because the law was fulfilled within Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right.
And it may very well be this issue that provoked Paul to write his epistle to the Romans, because in that letter you see that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to show that how grace has overcome or overpowered the law. So this is an issue that he still, after this incident,
and
he had to get it straight.
And not only provoked Romans, it also provoked Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why he wrote Galatians, because those brethren were going in there. The same brethren that came from Jerusalem and were preaching another gospel, saying that you had to be circumcised after the law of Moses in order to be saved. And in Galatians he directly refuted that teaching.
Mm-hmm.
He refuted it also in Romans. So Romans and Galatians go right along together. And this is Paul's burden to keep Judaism and to keep paganism out of the gospel. I'm going to keep repeating this because there's no place for either one of those things, those traditions, to be in the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right, and then a lot of times people don't get things right. They were thinking, want to take people back to the law of Moses. And even now, people say, well, Jesus said one time, he said, if these should hold their peace, he said, the stones would immediately cry out. He's not talking about no rocks. Because in Ezekiel 36 and 26, he said he's going to take out of them the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. But also, you read in two of the Gospels, I believe Mark and Matthew, he said he's able of these stones to raise up children under Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the heart,
yes.
The condition of the heart. That's
mm-hmm.
what the sword of the Spirit does. It penetrates the heart.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, that's what, when they heard this on the day of Pentecost, it says they were pricked
in
their heart.
Amen.
The word of God is quick, the Bible said, and sharper than any two-edged sword,
mm-hmm.
piercing the discerner, dividing the soul and spirits and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight, but he said, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why, even in previous chapters that we were reading, when Apostle Paul told that man he was a child of the devil, you won't cease to pervert the ways of the Lord. He had a discerning spirit. That is the word of God that does that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these folks now that says they're apostles, like they couldn't discern the devil, like I said last week, let alone cast one out. So that's what the word of God is, so much in the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus, you can't leave that out. Ain't no nice gospel. That's why folks, devil want to kill people, because he don't want people to believe the truth and to be saved.
Amen. I'll take it back over there.
Yeah, it's not pretty at all.
Reading verse number 13, it says, After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now, James has distinguished himself as the leader of the church in Jerusalem. So he was, as we would consider today, the presiding bishop.
Mm-hmm.
This is his position. He was the leader over the apostles. Simeon had declared how God, Simeon is Peter, had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles and to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, and that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles, are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So these men were actually going out and not building up souls, but subverting them and turning them away from God.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be preaching the word of God to bring you closer to him. And these men were actually turning them away from God and putting something upon them which they could not bear, which they could not handle, and they actually fell away.
That's right.
So how is that of God? If you go into somebody that's already saved, that's already received the Holy Ghost, that's already been baptized, and tell them something that makes them not believe any longer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not of God.
Right.
And this is what they're saying, that we gave no such commandment. We did not teach this. This is coming out of their own mind. This is what they're teaching. And we are refuting that teaching. And reading back up, when they talk about that they abstain from idols, that they abstain from pollutions, and that they abstain from blood, this is because the Jews saw that as an abomination.
That's right.
And that would bring division between the Jews and the Gentiles. So this is to bring peace among the Jews and the Gentiles, that they may worship together in spirit and in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how the body of Christ has its powers, through unity.
Right.
And we should look to do this. So I will finish out this letter real quickly. Verse 25 says, "And it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." So here we're going to finish off, close out. These men, Paul and Barnabas, hazarded their lives. They set themselves up for harm's way, right in harm's way, so that the gospel may proceed unto the Gentiles. And they did not want their hard work to be taken away by false doctrine.
Yeah.
So at this matter was resolved. And this letter showed all the Gentile churches that they should believe just as the apostles believe, and the apostles did not believe that circumcision was necessary for salvation, but rather that you abstain from all things that concern the idol gods of the Gentiles, of the pagans, and that you should worship Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. You don't need anything besides repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost for salvation. And is there anything else?
Right. Well, we're not under the bondage of the law anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
It's like he said, it was fulfilled and it was done away in Christ. So that's what people don't want to believe, that Jesus was the Messiah. That was
mm-hmm.
the problem right there. They want to go back to the traditions of their fathers.
That's right.
That's all done away with in the gospel, and that's why he tore down the middle wall of partition. So our time is about up. Yeah, we got a minute left today. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world,